I want you to get ready to call me in a few moments. Right now, without any calls coming in, I want to take you into these constellations again. Now, I'll be giving this book away tomorrow. That's the one I'm going to be reading from, because you'll need it. I have used as a text all week long Paul's words to the Romans that God had revealed the wrath of God against sin from the heavens and against all ungodly men. The heavens, the psalmist said, declare thy handiwork. Genesis says that God placed these things in the heaven for signs, and the word in the Hebrew is carrying with itself prophetic meanings of signs. Bullinger's probably done the most complete job on that subject of what the word is in regard to signs and seasons. The word signs is oath, plural of oath from the root to come, hence a sign of something or someone to come. So when God said of the things he said in the firmament of the heavens in Genesis 1:14, let them be for signs, the word literally means sign of someone or one or something to come. Now, Satan moved into the territory and stole them for himself. I don't need to go into the review tonight because I'm in a big hurry. I want to hear from you whether you're going to be here tomorrow morning. But quickly, the seven, or rather the 12 signs, are divided into three sets, four each. The major constellation signs along the band of the celestial equator, if this room were it, it'd be the balcony line. And the earth going around the sun like these cameras around me, inside the room of the heavens. In the central band of that circle are 12 signs of the zodiac. The Sphinx gives the key. You start not as they do on modern charts with Aries. You start with Virgo the Virgin, and you end with Leo the Lion. Each of the 12 signs have three supporting constellations called decans or pieces that help to elaborate their meaning. From earliest antiquity, these signs have existed, been recognized, and consisted of 48, 12 of the major ones plus the three supporting decans. You can trace the history when they begin to deviate from the original meanings. For example, the tilted altar pouring the fire downward. In earlier zodiacs, had a man on a throne beating a jackal into the fires of hell. But from earliest antiquity across this globe, man, if he has any common denominator, it's the zodiac. And at the earliest roots in every culture, they're saying basically these simple truths. Virgo starts it. A woman lying down always symbolized as pure, but paradoxically with the symbol of birth in her hands, the righteous seed in one hand, the righteous branch in the other hand. Supporting that revelation, which is straight out of Isaiah, a woman shall conceive, a virgin shall conceive, comes the infant, Coma, whose name means the desire of the ages. Right in support and in the same constellation following, the centaur, the two-natured being who becomes Boötes, the shepherd who guards his flock and harvests out of this world. The first four speak of the Redeemer of Christ and his work. You move to the second chapter, you come to the scales. The desire of the nations, the righteous seed, the two-natured one, the shepherd of the sheep, before he can harvest out of this world, must confront the standard of righteousness which is tilted downward, dumping its contents into Scorpio, the serpent, the dragon, which is Satan. As he confronts the scales, he must face the cross. Paying the penalty on the cross, he becomes the victim, and he receives the crown, snatched right out of the very reach of the mouth of the serpent. Then to do his work, which begins with that, becoming the victim and seizing the crown, he confronts Scorpio, that terrible symbol of Satan, the foot of the man that is in support, because the image changes as the boy on the mother's knee became the two-natured being and became the shepherd, as we come to Scorpio, the conflict with Satan. The supporting constellations are two together. The great serpent, which is intertwining and wrestling with the man who is holding the serpent from getting the crown. That same man has one foot on the heart of the scorpion. The other foot is lifted, stung by the tail of the scorpion. But that chapter ends with Hercules, the mighty man, wounded in one heel, the other foot over the dragon's head, holding in one hand the golden apples and the three-headed dogs of hell, other hand an uplifted club. So the victory over Satan is symbolized. Further carried forward in Sagittarius, which follows, the centaur with the arrow drawn in the bow pointed at the heart of the scorpion, the eagle who brings the joy of the harp as he pounces on the enemy, which is Satan, the altar as it's called, but really in the ancient zodiac, a man on a throne beating the jackal of Satan into hell, and that old serpent winding himself around the pole, which is the dragon. The work is to come, born of woman as a righteous seed, to become our shepherd, to harvest and to engage in the struggle, which first confronts the scales, goes to the cross, becomes the victim, seizes the crown, and engages in the fight with scorpion, the serpent, the devil. All that is the work designed for Jesus. The second section is the work's benefits as we move to Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. Now, I've been over this all week. This is review. I'm heading toward Pisces tonight. Capricorn is the symbol of all symbols of the atoning work of Christ and its benefits to us. It's a dying goat who blends into the fish in the true symbol of the fish, which is the life that will come in multiplied numbers as a result of the dying ram. He becomes the victim of the arrow shot by the invisible God, that is God's righteous treatment for sin that lands on Christ the dying goat. He also is pictured as the eagle pierced and falling, and out of that act comes the dolphin again, the symbol of multiplied life, coming out of the sea, which is always pictured as the sea of the multitudes of the people in this earth, rising to high places as a result of the work of Christ. We then come to the symbol of all symbols for the church, Aquarius, the water bearer who pours out the water of his spirit onto this earth. The supporting constellations, the southern fish, which is the saint drinking at that fount, touched by the spirit, becoming the winged horse, anointed of the spirit to fly with the gospel, lifting his cross and soaring like the swan. We then come to Pisces. Pisces, we haven't taught about yet. Pisces, the sign of the fish. Modern astrology puts them as one, but they've always been two in the past. Two fish, tied by their tails, and held in the grip down here of the sea monster. Now, Pisces consists of 113 stars. I won't tell you the various magnitudes because we're in a hurry tonight. The figures which represent this constellation consist of two large fishes, One is headed toward the North Polar Star. The other is parallel with the path of the sun. Now, they're some distance apart, but are bound together by a band or ribbon, which is fastened to the neck of Cetus, the sea monster. See if I can find a picture of him. There's the sea monster. He also grabs this band. Now, this sea monster is, as I've said, the supporting constellations are decans. Do not necessarily speak of their importance, but rather their location. The largest constellation is this sea monster. Now see, the band is right up here in his neck, if you look closely. The band that grabs the fishes is also binding his neck. You follow the band around here, it's around the tail of one of the fish right there. Now, in the constellation of the fish, you don't see the sea monster here. But down in this corner of the picture, it's hooked to the neck of the sea monster. Now, in Pisces, I could go through the names of these various stars in these fish constellations. But they all speak of the fishes. Now, how many of you remember some of the promises to Abraham and to Jacob, and particularly to Joseph? They shall grow as a multitude on the face of the earth, a multitude of fishes. Now, the previous sign had to do with the church. The mystery hidden until Paul explained it fully in the New Testament. What in the book of Romans is the wild olive branch? The church anointed of the Holy Spirit, flying with the gospel like the winged horse, and lifting its cross and soaring like a swan. The section we're dealing with has to do with the beneficial work to God's people on this earth. Now, you that have listened to me teach know there is a broad category, Jew and Gentile. There is a category that transcends all of them, church. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, when you come into the church, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, drinking at the fount of the Spirit, implanted with the seed of the Spirit, joint heirs with Christ, a new creation, a new race, the race of grace, body of Christ, destined and seated in heavenly places already, pilgrims here, citizens of a heavenly land. That's the wild olive branch. The Gentiles, however, include heathen, and the divorced wife, the 10 tribes of Israel. So when the church is separated out, you still have Jew and Gentile, but Gentile of two kinds. The 10 tribes were part of the Gentiles. This means nations, goyim. By New Testament days, the Jews had polarized themselves as the children of God, and everybody else was a Gentile. But included, and Paul makes that clear in the Romans letter, included in the Gentiles are the 10 tribes. God promises of the descendants of Joseph, they will be a fullness of Gentiles. Literally translated, a fullness of nations, but same word. So if we lift the church out, which was in the previous constellation, we have Gentiles, which are the heathen nations at large. There's still two people that comprise the saints of God, which are the fishes. The church comprises the fishes, drinking at the fount, leaping as the dolphin in the resurrection life of the Spirit. Fish by the thousands that come out of the dying act at Calvary of the goat that is dying, who says his life yields. Fish, multitudinous life results. Now, it would have been God's desire that all of them, Jew, Gentile, including the 10 tribes, would accept the Lord and become a part of his church and his body. But only those that drank at the fountain, poured out by him. Sore is the winged horse and the swan that carries its cross. Those fishes, the church, are the wild olive branch. But there are yet other fishes in God's bowl of the heavens. His saints, not drinking at the fount, not soaring as the dolphin above the sea in resurrection life, but bound and still in the grip, if you will, of the sea monster, which is Satan. What better type of Judah and Israel in the bondage of rejection? That's why God says in the last days he'll send fishers and hunters after them. The symbol is again and again used by God. Bound, his chosen people, whereas the church that drinks at the fountain of Christ, the water poured out, can soar like the dolphin. These are still bound and tied to the sea monster, who can abuse him, lead him around, shake him, and tie him up. Notice one of them goes north, and one of them goes the equatorial route. Interesting. Very interesting. The next sign, see the band, the constellation is the fishes. The band that ties them is one of the decans. Got that? Also, since the picture is still that of the Jews and the 10 tribes that have not faithfully served their Lord, and as a result, one of them is dispersed in bondage, the other is divorced and sent into bondage. In both cases, they are symbolized as the chained woman. The constant picture of Hosea, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. Andromeda, the woman in chains. Just as the fish were bound, when it shifts to the symbol of the woman, she too is bound and in chains. Unlike the bride of Christ that will appear in the next constellation series, free. And like the dolphin, empowered with God's life, this is the picture. We're talking about the work of Christ as it relates to his people on earth in this section of the constellations. And the work of Christ as it relates to his people on earth went through the church first. Now we're dealing with those tribes that God had to abandon temporarily, the real limbs of the olive tree, bound fishes, two of them. Chained woman, Andromeda. Again, all of the stars say the same thing. In the ancient Egyptian zodiac, the woman is named Set, which means set up as a queen. In Hebrew, she's Sarah the chained. The brightest star on her head in Arabic means the broken down. Other meanings for other stars are the weak, the struck down, the weak, and the afflicted. The third constellation that's a decan in Pisces is Cephas, the crowned king wearing his royal robe and enthroned in the highest heaven, which is where God's Son is, rejected by the ones. He came to his own and his own received him not. He therefore sits crowned and enthroned at the right hand of the Father as promised by Philippians 2. The divorced and the scattered wife, the 10 tribes of Israel and Jews out of Judah are like chained fishes, still tied to the sea monster. They're like a chained woman, Andromeda. He sits on his throne crowned, whereas the church, drinking at the fount in the midst of the sea, receives his life on this earth and can rise above it and, like dolphins sail, or like winged horses take the gospel to the world, or lift their cross like a swan soaring above this world. Those abandoned ones, the divorced one and the dispersed ones, Israel and Judah, are chained by a band to the sea monster, the chained woman Andromeda. He sits above it all on his throne, looking on. We then go to Ares, the ram or the lamb. Now, I need you to have this book in your hand when I teach. Sort of pedantic tonight because I only wanted to just grab at it. I'll review it again in another hour next week. You need that book. I teach from several of them, but that one will enable you to follow along as I teach the glory of the stars. E. Raymond Capp gave me 800. I bought the rest of them to give to you tomorrow.